it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hey everybody, it is Trags Mike Petralia back with the latest episode of the Jungle Roar podcast powered by CLNS Media and our great sponsors, Prize Picks and Game Time. My pleasure to welcome back James Rapine of Locked On Bengals and allbengals.com to break down the good and the bad and the in-between of the 2024 NFL draft for the Cincinnati Bengals over the last 3 days, last Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. James, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Quick note, I never told you this. We switched it up. It's bengalstalk.com.
Oh, you never did tell it. Well, that's why I'm glad you. I gave you the opportunity to promote yourself.
Completely rebranded, baby.
So say it again.
BengalsTalk.com. That's all.
BengalsTalk.com.
We kicked that all aside.
By the way,
that all aside because the Bengals got their own all.
Is that, does that explain the new icon in over your left shoulder? Looks sharp, snazzy. I know you've been using that logo.
Yeah, that's our logo for the YouTube channel. It gets the site closer to what the YouTube channel is too. And
that's smart.
Instead of having multiple different things, Cincinnati Bengals Talk and BengalsTalk.com makes more sense, I think, to everybody involved.
Yeah, good branding. Good job by you, James. Also, good job by you by recommending me to upgrade my lighting game here in the Jungle Roar Pod Studios. Thanks to James Rapine. I went out and invested in the latest technology to make my face look less brutally ugly.
You look great. Best I've ever seen you look. You're aging again, like Brady.
The bar is not that high when it comes to my own look. So thank you. I appreciate that, James. Let's get past the drivel and the babble and get on to the stuff that people really care about. Amarius Mims. I think it's pretty much a no-brainer. I saw reports in the last 24 hours that the Kansas City Chiefs were in on him. They were looking possibly to move up. They were very impressed with him as a potential left tackle of the future. But the Bengals got him at 18. And if he progresses along the track that he has shown in his 8 previous starts, and yes, only 8 at the University of Georgia, I think the Bengals have what they were looking for.
No doubt about it. I think they deserve a ton of credit for this pick because they could have easily said, nope, we're not rolling the dice. We're going to go with Quinyon Mitchell. We're going to go with Troy Fautanu, who thank goodness they did because I don't have to say his name.
We would all have a nightmare. Yes.
Even though he's going to be facing the Bengals at least twice a year.
Yeah.
But still, Amarius Mims has the highest ceiling. And I was thinking about this when I went to write. Is people are like, yeah, you're rolling the dice. It's a big swing, but he's got such a low floor. And it's like, Billy Price was supposed to be this safe center pick where he's going to be your center for 10 years. Didn't feel that safe a year in, did it?
No.
Jonah Williams was supposed to be this safe pick. And I think Jonah Williams is a solid player. But in this division, when you're dropping back 45 times, it's pretty good to have size and strength and athleticism. And Amarius Mims has all of the above. I love this pick. I was discussing him as a possible target for a lot of the draft process. But when really the final 2 to 3 weeks is when you can really hone in. You've been talking about it enough and you can hone in. And I thought that he should be really, really high on the Bengals board. And I think he was. I think there's only a handful of tackles, offensive tackles, that were ahead of Amarius Mims and maybe one defensive player, maybe one.
Okay, so I'm going to guess Joe Alt and Byron Murphy would be two players that the Bengals would have on their big board ahead of Amarius Mims.
Yeah, so those two for sure. And you knew Alt was going to be gone. I think they were so hoping for some Murphy. I think Murphy, I don't know for sure that he would be ahead of Mims, but he's ahead of a lot of these offensive tackles and might be ahead of Mims. The other one was J.C. Latham. I think Latham was ahead of Mims, and he went 7th overall, just to give you an idea of where the NFL felt. And how the NFL felt about him. So I love this for the Bengals. I really do. And it might not work out, but I don't question the process up to this point. And that's what the draft is. Sometimes it doesn't work out and you look back and you're like, well, was the process right or was the process wrong? And the process was probably wrong for a guy like Billy Price leading into that draft and settling for him at 21 overall.
Right.
Even if Mims doesn't work out, I don't think the process was wrong getting to this point.
I think it's a great point. If you did your due diligence, and I think there's no question the Bengals did their due diligence and interviewed all the right people, certainly have enough people in the building that watch enough film and watch enough tape who know what they're watching when they watch that tape. I agree with you 100%. I don't think there was anything wrong with the process. The issue becomes, and a lot of Bengal fans will point this out, can Frank Pollock, once Frank Pollock gets his hands on Amarius Mims, can he take the next step? And I think that's where Bengal fans, you know, are, I think, justifiably, concerns the wrong word, certainly curious as to what his potential can be early on in his career with Cincinnati.
No doubt. No doubt. The thing that I would say to those people is, well, let's find out, because you've never done this for Frank Pollock. They've never given him an Amarius Mims. Amarius Mims doesn't grow on trees. He might be a tree, but he's never had this type of talent to work with. And so you could say, oh, yeah, well, they used a second rounder on Jackson Carmen. And yeah, the front office probably wanted him to get more out of Jackson Carmen. I don't think anyone would have gotten anything out of Jackson Carmen that the Bengals didn't get. I just think that's it. Billy Price was just really limited physically. This guy has everything you need to be great. And so now, to your point, to their point, it is up to Frank Pollock to help get him there. And we will see if it happens. But this idea that Frank has failed to this point, I don't know what he should have or could have done with the guys he had up until now that we couldn't have predicted for the most part. And so now he has a shot to show that he is a high-end offensive line coach, and we will see, because I do think that that seat, it's not hot, but it's warm now that you use the 18th overall pick on a guy that you hope becomes your next Andrew Whitworth, that you hope becomes your next Willie Anderson, your next great offensive tackle that you drafted and developed yourself.
Yeah, and you would rather have the problem of being on the hot seat with talent than not having any expectations and not having the talent there. The Bengals certainly have, it would appear, the talent in Amarius Mims. Just to let everybody know who hasn't read the bio or done their due diligence on what Amarius Mims is like physically, he is 6'8" and 340 pounds, but he is not like Orlando Brown Jr. and Trent Brown. What do we mean by that, James? You being someone who likes to work out yourself, he's ripped. Amarius Mims is ripped. Ted Karras made this point on Monday when he was talking about taking Amarius out to a Jeff Ruby steakhouse north of downtown, Aunt Carlo and Johnny's to be specific, as Ted Karras did mention that. But he is a different kind of beast. He is cut. He's more of an athlete. And, you know, I think I'm curious to see how he works in early on in the Bengals program there.
Yeah, I think that's the question is, one, I think he is ready. There's a lot of people like, oh, well, he can just sit. And I think he's ready to pass protect now. But that doesn't mean you have to put him out there now. Not if you want to teach him a little bit more, get him a little bit more comfortable at both tackle spots and let him take some of his lumps in practice as he develops. And so, I think he could play this year. I think he will play this year. The odds of Trent Brown and Orlando Brown Jr. staying healthy. Orlando Brown Jr. has been durable. Trent Brown, not so much. And it's just really hard to play 17 straight games. The Bengals offensive line was the one area that stayed healthy last year. So who knows? Maybe it happens again. But if not, I certainly could see Mims playing at a high level as a rookie. And here's the other element, Trags. I do wonder, and they might not come out and say it to us, if they just put him at guard for a second. Just, hey, big man, just go over there for a second. Because if you remember Andrew Whitworth at guard, it was like, oh my God, he's awesome. He was awesome at guard.
See, the interesting thing to me about that, put him at guard in pass pro or in the run game or both, just to see how he does.
Just to see how he does. And in pass pro, I think he would be good to go probably right away. You know,
right.
He handled stunts and twists and all those things at tackle. I know it's different at guard, but I think he could do that, especially because he's so hard to get around. But is he athletic enough to move at guard? I wouldn't put it past him.
Mike Petralia Trags here. I want to tell you about Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on all the action while you watch your favorite sports and, of course, players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. You can win now up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard that right, with as few as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. This week for me, I'm taking Kevin Durant for more than 28 points and Trae Young for more than 10 assists. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
All right, let's move on from Amarius Mims, another pick that is going to intrigue Bengal fans, and they are going to want to see him on the field ASAP, is Jermaine Burton. Look, Zach, when Zach Taylor says he can take the top off of defense, I think that is said with intent. I think the Bengals believe that. They want him to do that. And my question for you, James, is can he just get out there and start playing at a starting wide receiver level right away, or is he going to have to take some time? What's your best guess there?
I think he comes in and is there. He will not be their Tyler Boyd, just to be clear, but I do think he's going to be their third receiver. And so he'll play the third most snaps in that room, but there's some scenarios where it's him in the slot, other scenarios where it's going to be Jamar Chase in the slot. I think some scenarios where he's on the field and we see Charlie Jones or Andre Yosefage. The beauty of Burton, and the reason why I'm kicking myself for not mentioning him more during the pre-draft process for the Bengals, because of the character stuff, I just kind of overlooked him, didn't think the Bengals would be in on him. But he's the perfect fit football-wise. He can do everything they want. He can be explosive out of the slot. He can stretch the field outside. He had showed some good catch and run ability in some of those games. Wasn't asked to do it a lot, but did. And he had great hands. But he's not your prototypical slot. You're not going to send him on a bunch of Tyler Boyd routes where they're choice routes and stuff. And maybe he becomes that, but you don't need him to. You need him to be the deep threat that does take the top off, that does complement T. Higgins and right. Jamar Chase. And when teams double up Jamar and you put T on the other side, well, now you got to worry about a slot receiver that can get downfield in a hurry and is a deep threat as well. So I think he fits really, really well, not only with T and Jamar, but also Andre Yosefage and Charlie Jones, because you could put him outside, Charlie in the slot, Andre in the slot. Like you could do a bunch of different things with these guys. And so I think they complement each other very well. And his skill set is unique and something that Jamar has a lot of. Jamar's a stronger player, but he's similar in the fact that he can move all around and take the top off of the defense.
I mean, I do like the pick a lot because of the potential. Look, any team in any draft, I don't like grading players individually in the draft and teams. I don't like grading teams, even though I did grade the Bengals on checking the boxes, not necessarily on the talent they acquire, because James, you and I both know we don't know their talent until they get on the field, right? Even though they put out great numbers during college, we don't know how that's going to translate to the pro game. All you can grade, if you're doing so, is how do these teams check off the boxes? And overall, I think from a large scale, 40,000 feet, I think the Bengals checked off all the boxes that they needed to.
They did. They did. They reached at times. I think
tight end.
Heck, McKinley Jackson to me was earlier than I would have.
I was going to get to him, but go ahead.
And I think it's more need based, right? They knew they needed a nose tackle, and there's not a nose tackle I would have taken there over him. What I think is interesting about that is how long could they have waited on Jackson? Would he have been there at 115 in round 4? Would he have found his way at 149 in round 5? I don't know, but the nose tackle market's weird, where you could see that. Mekhi Wingo fell to round six.
Not to cut you off. Psychologically, I think they wanted that accomplished before they headed into day three. And that was the point of taking McKinley Jackson when they did. They didn't want to wait till the fourth round. I think they wanted it out of the way by Friday night so that they could focus on different areas on Saturday. That's just my way of thinking.
And that's the tax that you have to pay when you don't plug a need in free agency.
Correct.
Right. And that's that part stinks. At the same time, I like McKinley Jackson from certainly he was fun to meet him in person. And I think he could be a quality player.
Could be the kind of guy, James, he could be the kind of guy if he gets in the culture and the culture has an impact on him and he stays on the straight and narrow. I don't think he's going to be Tyler Shelvin. When a guy like McKinley Jackson is taken and there's questions about him, it's either he's going to be the next DJ Reader or Geno Atkins, or he's going to turn into Tyler Shelvin. And there's very, very few times is there an in-between, right?
Sure. And I think I agree with you. I think personality wise, character wise, I think he'll be fine. I also wonder what's the payoff for picking him there outside of having a body. Does that make sense? Like, is he going to be a Pro Bowler? Does he have that upside? Well, probably not. I think that's unrealistic to expect. And so at nose tackle, what's the drop off between him and Mekhi Wingo, who went three rounds later? That's the question. Maybe it's a huge drop off on their board. Maybe they think McKinley Jackson is that much different, right? The NFL certainly felt like Tavondre Sweat was that much different. And so that's the question. And we will see. Time will tell. That's a pick that clearly is a need pick. At the same time, I do understand the need. And I also think that, hey, if he turns into a 10-year pro, then you get the pick and you understand it. And we'll see if the Bengals got it right.
What about the two tight ends?
I think Eric All is a major risk with huge upside. And the upside is the best tight end they've had in a long time. I mean, he's more complete than Eifert. He's a guy that can block at a really high level, can move well, natural route runner and pass catcher. Doesn't catch passes like Eifert. Eifert was a freak. But still is someone that could be a big, big part of this offense. And it's just a matter of the health standpoint. And so doubling down and getting Tanner McLaughlin, someone who they will tell you was much higher on their board. I think they would have considered him. Let's say they didn't get Eric on round four. I think Tanner McLaughlin was very much in play in round five. I can't really knock them for it. I really can't. That they like him. He's 25. That's the concern. So there's two concerns with McLaughlin. He's 25, and there's questions about his strength and his ability to block. And so has a chance to be a really good pass catcher. 4.61, 40-yard dash, moves really well, weapon in the passing game. So he fits from that perspective. Can tight ends coach James Casey get enough out of him in the blocking department? Can Joey Bosé and that strength coaching staff get a little bit more out of him moving forward, even though he is 25? Because you think about it, we're talking about strength at 25. It's tough now. Now, I do think he can get stronger, obviously. Trags is much stronger now than he was at 25. So we will see. But there are some question marks there. But I do get it, and I do get following your board. It doesn't really bother me that they took two tight ends. It's just not something I had on the bingo card going into the draft.
Okay, I'm going to bring up a name, and feel free to roll your eyes. Rob Gronkowski had spine surgery, had back surgery when he was in college at Arizona. So I don't have as big a problem with a minimally invasive surgery that he had on his spine, Eric All in college. As I do the knees, he's coming off an ACL last year. I believe he missed the last seven games at Iowa. That to me is the concern. Can he get his explosiveness back? If he can, I do think, James, like you said, I think he can be a steal. Have you taken a good, close, hard look at the college free agents, and do any names stand out? Because I know there's one name we want to get to just because of the competition angle to it.
I haven't looked a ton as far as stats and done a deep dive. I got to be honest with you, Trags. Just looking at the list that I have here, I do think that both running backs have a real shot, and it's pretty attractive to come here and get that shot. And so we'll see. But yeah, Noah Kane out of LSU, Elijah Collins out of Oklahoma State. Those are the two that really stand out to me, because if they impress, there might be a roster spot up for grabs. And so that's really all you can ask for. One other name, just because he's a really high-end athlete, Cole Burgess. It might be Burgess, out of a wide receiver out of SUNY Cortland. Interesting player. That's all. I don't really think there's a roster spot for him, but certainly interesting. Stood out when the brief amount of time I've spent looking at these guys. I'll get to know him more. Obviously, we just come off the draft, but another name that stands out.
Hey, it's Trags, Mike Petralia, host of the Code Reds podcast and Jungle Roar podcast on the CLNS Media Network. What a great time of year to be a basketball fan. The NBA playoffs finally here and in full swing. I watch them every single night, but you know what's better than watching those playoff games on TV? Actually taking in all the fun and excitement in person. What's the best way to do that? Well, Game Time is my go-to. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and, yes, easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, how about this, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes all of the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets. Myself, I'm thinking of going up I-74 to take in an Indiana Pacers playoff game. Couldn't be easier with Game Time. They've got last-minute deals. Save up to 60% off buying last-minute for sports, but also concerts, comedy, and theater. With Game Time's ticket coverage, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
All right, the guy I do want to get to and get your read on is Austin McNamara, a terrific punter out of Texas Tech. He is a rookie free agent that was signed after the draft was completed on Saturday, an 87-yard punt in college, one of the leading punters last year in all of college football. Competition for Brad Robbins. Brad Robbins had an uneven rookie year, and that, I think, is being a little bit kind. But I think certainly we're at the point where Darren Simmons simply wants legitimate competition for Brad Robbins to see how he responds, correct?
Well, no doubt. And this was always the case. I know some thought they were going to draft a punter. I thought that they were going to say, you know, we're going to be an attractive destination in college free agency. Someone's going to say, hey, I can go win a job there. And now it's game on between McNamara and Robbins. And Robbins knew, Brad knew that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think Brad, this is going to surprise a lot of people probably, Brad's the favorite. And Brad is the favorite for a very simple reason. One, he's been a year into this system. He's not a rookie learning it. He knows exactly what he's expected to do. Two, he was a great holder last year. And that's a big part of this job.
That is a huge deal.
And so can he, I mean, Evan was awesome last year. Evan McPherson was awesome. And guess who was holding all of those extra points, all of those field goal attempts? Well, it was Brad Robbins. So can Brad be a little better as a punter? Can he get the distance down a bit more? Can he be a bit more consistent? Can he avoid the craziness of week one against Cleveland where he had to punt 50 times and it was just awful for stats? Can he avoid that? Because if so, I think he has a real shot to win the job. That said, I think Austin McNamara is going to have every chance to do so and show that he can be a good holder and show that he can be the better of the two punters. So, look, I liked Brad coming out and I thought he was going to be a dude. And I still think he has a shot to be a dude, even though he was underwhelmed by his rookie year and the Bengals were underwhelmed by his rookie year. Now he's going to have to go earn it from a rookie that thinks that he's going to take his job. So it's going to be a fun competition that we follow throughout camp.
You and I have both spoken, I think, at length to Brad Robbins throughout the course of last training camp and the preseason and the regular season. He seems like he has the personality to handle a situation like this and not be unnerved. And that, to me, punting and kicking are big, high leverage pressure situations in NFL games. And I think he has got the mentality to do what he has to do to improve, put maybe 3 or 4, maybe 5 yards. 5 yards is asking a lot per punt on his net average, at least 3 yards, maybe 4.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think
that's
I think
what he needs to do. I think he was at 39 or 40 net at the end.
Yeah,
of the
45 is reasonable. Let's just say what it is. And if you could do that and be good directionally, and when you're backed up in your own end zone, give you more than 45, well, that's what you want. Now, McNamara has a leg on him, and so it's not going to be easy. And so I just think there are a lot of people that just assume McNamara is going to run away with the job, right. And it is not that simple. It is not that simple at all. And Brad Robbins is going to have a real shot here. And like I said, I think he's the favorite right now. Even if it's 51-49, he's the favorite because he knows exactly what is going to be expected. And he has a whole year of holding exactly the way Darren Simmons wants, the way it works. Obviously, it was successful with Evan McPherson. And that does matter. That's a huge factor here. Probably 50% of the decision about who is the Bengals punter this season.
You know Dax Hill very well, James Rapine.
Yep.
And you've spoken to him on the record, off the record, spent a lot of time in his presence in that locker room. So I think you are an excellent person to ask this. How is he going to handle moving from safety to corner? I will tell you what I think. At first, when we spoke to Dax, I think a couple of weeks ago when spring workouts began, off-season training began, he seemed hesitant, and I think that hesitancy came from Zach Taylor, the head coach, asking him not to say anything that he was already working in the cornerback room. And then we speak to him on Monday. He seemed very relaxed. He went as far as to say, I've played corner in college. It's something I'd love to do, and I'm looking forward to going back to being a corner and doing what I have to do to earn that job. I think Dax Hill is in a good place. I think some of the pressure has been lifted off of him not being a safety. I just want to get your read. And when Zach Taylor, after the draft was completed on Saturday night, confirmed to us all that Dax Hill is competing for a starting cornerback job next year.
Yeah, Zach Taylor just dropping a bomb at the end there.
Boom.
Right? Like, hey, happy draft. You've had a great 3 days. By the way, we moved our former first-round safety to corner. Thanks, everyone, and good night. Like. Looking back on that, like, damn, Zach, you couldn't have said this 2 weeks ago. Like, what are you doing to us? But
For the record, James, he and in fairness to Zach and the staff, they did want to see how the draft played out. Because if there was a player or two that fell in their lap or they took someone that changed their focus and their perspective, I should say, on their roster and their depth chart, then that changes things a little bit. I think that was just a formality of making sure everything, all the ducks were in a row once the draft was over.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think what you said early is factual. Dax has known for weeks and months that he's in the cornerback room. Months is relative, obviously, right after free agency that they made that move. And look, I think he can do it. I'm a believer in Dax Hill. I think he's just a pro that needs a staff, an organization, whatever it is, to say, all right, this is where you are. This is what you're going to be. Go do it.
Right.
If it were me, he'd probably still be in the safety room and might be starting this year with Geno Stone. If it were me.
Okay. Explain.
I don't think that there is a safety in that room that has more talent than Dax Hill, including Geno.
Neither of us are arguing that the guy has terrific feet, hands.
No, safety talent.
Got it.
Jordan Battle is not a better box safety than Dax is. Neither is Von Bell from all of the standpoints that you would be looking for. Now, what I think is interesting, and this is what I hope they do with Dax still, even though he's in the cornerback room. And he's competing for the starting job. So who knows? Maybe he just wins that. But to me, you have a guy that you can get and put on anyone. Tight ends, you can have him line up against receivers if you want. I do think that's asking a lot, and he'll be doing that at corner. But I was thinking you could use him as a weapon, and they just clearly don't view it that way, where they're going to do it. The same way the Notre Dame safety is being used by the
Kyle
Ravens.
Hamilton. Yep.
Yeah, Kyle Baltimore. Hamilton. Yeah, like he's their third safety, but he's not playing deep. He's not doing that. He's around the ball. He's blitzing. He's wreaking havoc all over and making people's lives a living hell. Like, that's what you do. And they don't want to use Dax that way. Put him at corner. I think he can play corner. And the question is, can he play outside corner? That's the question. And he has the size to do it. That's one thing we said on draft night after they took him. So we will see. But Dax Hill is certainly someone. I would not put it past him to push DJ Turner for that starting job.
Yeah, I would not either. I think it's fascinating. I do think it gives Lou Anarumo a couple of options that he didn't have last year. And I think that'll be a terrific storyline to follow. You got a couple of more minutes?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So I want to make sure I'm not ruining your afternoon, believe me. I just want to make sure James Rapine is all set with his obligations. You know I always got your back, right?
Well, Trags, you better get to your next question here before I come over there.
Change your mind. Okay, that next question is contractual in nature. And we're going to talk about two players. Their names are in the news. Trey Hendrickson. So I asked Zach on Saturday night about Trey Hendrickson, and he was pretty quick to poo-poo that and put that issue, I thought, to bed very cleanly. We want Trey Hendrickson here next year. He will be here next year for us playing as an edge rusher. The trade demand is all about Trey Hendrickson wanting some love, correct? Yes?
Sorry, that's just my response to that's my response. No, not to the question, to the dumb demand, the ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And that's probably how the Bengals front office reacted. Like, he was probably serious, or his agent was serious. We want more money, or we're going to retire. And they went, we are laughing, the Anchorman GIF, if you don't remember it. Like, it's a joke, man. I mean, you had no leverage. You just didn't. And by the way, this is coming from someone that, in my line of work, I very rarely have ever had leverage ever. So it's not like this is unfamiliar territory for me. But if you sign a deal and outperform that deal like he did in 2021, I totally get being frustrated with that, wanting more money. But you know what you don't do? After an 8-sack season, you don't complain that you're not paid high enough and then sign a 1-year extension and then wonder why you're not getting more money now when you would be going into the last year of his deal. He did this so wrong because it would be set to be going into the last year of his contract this year, coming off of a 17.5 sack season where he would have leverage. And he gave up that leverage last summer, July 27th, I believe, when he signed a 1-year extension. So the Bengals, they have one of the best values. And I think Trey and his agent kind of got ahead of themselves with the trade request, with the retirement chatter, with all of that. And that's why it's been all quiet on the Western front. And Zach, who wouldn't have said this, think about that. Zach hasn't said this stuff and wouldn't go out of his way to say something that he wasn't confident in. Trey will be here.
Correct.
Trey will play for it. Zach said that. It was very direct and for a reason. And so, Trey, I never thought he was getting traded anyway, but you just smile and move on. I think it was a pretty funny attempt. You think you're going to get them to blink when you have 2 years left on your deal? Like, next time these players should just call me and I'll tell them. I'll tell them one way or the other.
So you've got a secondary career as an agent, or at least.
I mean, at least in this scenario, I wouldn't claim that much because I don't know it, the ins and outs of contract. But this, the common sense agent, yes, I could be the common sense agent for the entire league.
All right, we'll wrap up with T. Higgins. Kelsey Conway of the Cincinnati Inquirer on Tuesday had a report that said that the Bengals had not approached $20 million in a annual AAV with T. Higgins when they've already signed T. Higgins to a franchise tag worth $21.8 million, I believe it is, James, for 2024 this coming season. My whole feel on this is, again, the Blackburns and the Browns know exactly what they're doing in terms of contract negotiations with T. and T and David Mulugeta don't have the leverage. I don't think it bothers T as much. I think he wants to come back and play another year in a situation he's very comfortable with and compete for a Super Bowl ring, which I think is a legitimate possibility. David Mulugeta, on the other hand, I think he's frustrated, and that's why the story got out. Your take?
Sure. I think this is agent-driven. The Bengals aren't going to comment on it publicly, and it makes sense. They never will, and I actually think that's smart by the team. Look, the deal's not going to get done. The Bengals aren't going to give T. Higgins the guaranteed money that David Mulugeta wants, and they damn sure aren't going to give him a salary that now is probably well over $25 million. Some of these talks, what's weird about this, and people are getting on Kelsey and all this stuff. What's weird about these talks, or unique to these talks, is that all of these messages are coming out, and they're all from different time periods. One's from 11 months ago. One is from 8 months ago. One is from a month ago. And it's all different. The whole receiver market is different. Yeah, I think the Bengals did offer T. Higgins $18 million a year. I'm sure they did. I don't know that. David Mulugeta doesn't have me on speed dial. Heck, I just made fun of agents. Does that shock you? But the $18 million a year was probably before all of these guys signed. And it's probably much different. And so I'm just using that figure because that's roughly what was mentioned. So look, I don't think the Bengals were ever going to make T. Higgins 4 years, $100 million with $70 million guaranteed. Would they have done 4 years, $88 million with $25 guaranteed, knowing that T's going to play at least 3 years of that deal? Probably. But I don't think David Mulugeta would have taken that. And so it is what it is. And I think the most most likely outcome is he plays on the tag this year. And this is where T and Mulugeta better be careful. And T knows I've said this. I know he knows. And I'm going to say it again right here.
Yep.
If he plays well this year and they have cap space next year and he plays, he has 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns, they will not hesitate to do a double tag. Do you see these contracts for these receivers?
Amen.
They may double tag him. And that doesn't mean they'll keep him on the roster. Maybe they tag and trade him then. But this idea that they're just going to let him walk after this year, I don't think it's that simple. Not if he plays at a high level. It might be if he has a year like he did last year. But if he stays healthy and he plays well.
And the fifth-year option obviously was a technicality, but it was an important one, has already been exercised on Jamar Chase. He's going to be getting his 20, help me out here,
21.8.
He's also getting 21.8.
Yep.
And that'll be in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah. Yep,
so they could have both receivers again next year without exercising or executing, I should say, any long-term extension.
And if Jermaine Burton is the player that the Bengals think he is, that gives the Bengals even more leverage because let's say T. Higgins plays well this year, but they really like Burton and they want to increase Burton's role. We'll just tag T and trade him and get something for him.
Right.
There will be a market. If he plays at a high level, there will be a market for his services and then use that asset and get something for it. They have a ton of cap space next year, by the way. Some of that will change with Jamar and stuff, but they have a ton of cap space. They'll be fine.
You have addressed a lot of issues on this Jungle War pod, James. I want to thank you.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Want you also to, you are on Locked On Bengals. We all know about that, but the rebranded website again,
BengalsTalk.com. Easy, easy. Think about that. That's easy to remember.
BengalsTalk.com. He is James Rapine. Want to thank him once again for joining me on this episode, the post 2024 NFL draft episode of the Jungle Roar pod. It has been powered by our friends at Game Time and Prize Picks. And by the CLNS Media Network. Until next time, I'm Mike Petralia. Keep that jungle roaring.